If you have your Bibles, open up to Genesis chapter 7. Going on a boat trip today. Genesis chapter 7, verse 11, if you stand and honor God's Word. You always stand and try to always stand and read His Word. Chapter 7, verse 11. 7:11. A long time ago, there was a big flood. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, on that day, all the foundations of the great deep were broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. On the very same day, Noah and Noah's sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons with them entered the ark. They and every beast after its kind, all cattle after their kind, every creeping thing that creeps on the earth after its kind, and every bird after its kind, every bird of every sort. And they went into the ark to Noah, two by two, of all flesh, in which is the breath of life. So those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. Now the flood was on the earth 40 days. The waters increased and lifted up the ark, and it rose high above the earth. The waters prevailed and greatly increased on the earth, and the ark moved about on the surface of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly on the earth, and all the high hills under the whole heaven were covered. The waters prevailed 15 cubits upward, and the mountains were covered. And all flesh died that moved on the earth, birds and cattle and beasts, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, and every man. All in whose nostrils was the breath of the Spirit of life, all that was on the dry land died. So he destroyed all living things which were on the face of the ground, both man and cattle, creeping thing and bird of the air. They were destroyed from the earth. Only Noah and those who were with him in the ark remained alive. And the waters prevailed on the earth 150 days. Then God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the animals that were with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters subsided. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that you let us be here today. And thank you, Lord, that you know how to deliver. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Noah and his family were delivered. They survived. God knows how to save and deliver. I don't know if you've ever needed deliverance or if you've ever needed saving, but if you've ever needed to be saved from something that was harming you, or if you've ever needed to be delivered from something that was harming you, then you'll understand what it was like to be Noah, his wife, his three sons, and his three sons' wives, and the eight of them, and a whole bunch of animals, were on a giant box. It was really basically like it almost looked like a coffin, for lack of a better way of putting it. And it was a box. It had no rudder, it had no motor, it had no sail, it had one big door, and it had a little window around the top. And they got put on this box, and they were going to survive. And they were going to survive 1 year and 10 days living in this box. That's how long they'll be in the box. 1 year and 10 days. And the Bible tells us this and tells you how to date it. And when Noah went into the ark, he was 600 years old. But he was going to live to be about 950. So I guess you could think he was about like he was 60 years old. Because he lived a long time. But after him, people are going to start living less and less and less and less and less. And you can see the walk down in the few chapters later from this. You know, as we talk about this boat ride and how God allowed 8 people to live, we think, why is God allowing 8 people to live and all the others die? Well, chapter 6 we spent on last week told us that the thoughts of their mind was continually evil. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, they were marrying and giving in marriage, and they were doing this and they were doing that. And then one day the flood came and washed them all away. That's found over in Luke 17. It's found in Matthew 24. But you know, it's interesting that they were marrying and giving in marriage. Now, most of us would say marriage is a good thing. And marriage is a good thing as long as it's a marriage that God recognizes as a marriage. It's God made the institution of marriage. But if you'll go back and read chapter 4, 5, and 6 of Genesis, most of the people who were marrying and giving in marriage and doing things were doing things for themselves. And they were displeasing God. They were dishonoring God. And marriage apparently was like a joke to them. We look at Cain's descendants. He was the first polygamist in the Bible. We look at people who saw beautiful women and took them in Genesis 6. We see things we don't understand. And so all this was going on, and God said, I've had enough of it. And I'm just going to take them out. And so he does. And he does by the great flood. Now, it rained 40 days and 40 nights. Now, I growing up in Mississippi, our average rainfall is somewhere between 60 and 80 inches a year. I don't know how much it is. It's like forever. But I think it's Bruno has 9 inches a year. That'll give you a little bit of a difference. But when I lived in Alabama for a few years, one day, in 1 hour, Montgomery, Alabama got almost 11 inches of rain in 1 hour. Now that's some rain. You can do the math. 11 inches times 24, that's a lot. That's about 350 inches of rain in one day. Multiply that times 40, and you're talking about 900 feet of rain. Now 900 feet of rain comes down on top of a mountain, where does it go? Goes to the bottom of the mountain. 900 feet gets at the bottom, goes up 900 feet, but all of a sudden here comes water. If there were mountains as they came down, the water goes up and up and up. A lot of water. Now, floods are bad news. Floods do a lot of damage. They can, and sometimes they do good. A localized flood puts a lot of really good dirt in an area for a long period of time. You can grow all kinds of stuff. Till another flood comes and washes it all away. But Noah and his family were delivered. They were saved. But there was a lot of people who didn't. Now, I have some record albums by a group called David and the Giants. They were popular in the late 70s and the 1980s. Anybody ever heard of David and the Giants? Well, I bet you have heard of the drummer for David and the Giants. His name was Keith Thibodeau. Thibodeau. That's a pretty good name, isn't it, Lou? Thibodeau. Keith Thibodeau was the drummer for David and the Giants. In the mid-70s, they were a rock band. Then they became Christians, and they were a Christian band. But Keith Thibodeau, in the 1950s, is the only surviving member of the I Love Lucy show. Because in the 1950s, you remember Little Ricky could play them drums? That's Keith Thibodeau. And he's alive today and living in Mississippi. Anyway, he joined this rock band in the 70s called David and the Giants, and then they became Christians, and they became a Christian rock and roll band. And don't think hard rock. Probably more like Beatles level. They're more like, depends on what you call hard rock and what you don't. But anyway, they had a song that I dearly love called Noah. It's about a 4-minute song, and it's in 3 parts. The first 2 parts It's kind of just a little melody type song, and it starts, and it's sung from the perspective at the first of the people who are making fun of Noah. Noah, what are you doing? And all this. And then the chorus, they say, come on down, Noah. Why spending all your time? Drink a little wine with us and have a good time. And so it's, this goes on for about 2 minutes or so. And then all of a sudden, the song completely changes. And you hear a massive thunderstorm and waves and things and noises and faint screams in the background. And all this noise is going, and then an underlying song begins to take over the song called Somewhere Over the Rainbow. And you get the point that somewhere past the rainbow there will be another world. And so this is exactly what happened with Noah here. Now the rains came down for 40 days and 40 nights. And let me tell you what, if he can make it rain 11 inches in Montgomery, Alabama in about 2010, he can make it rain more in 1 hour, don't you think? But not only did the waters come down for 40 days and 40 nights, it says the great deep was opened up and waters came up. And so it rained day and night for 40 days. But at the end of chapter 7, it says this. The waters increased for 150 days. Now, any of y'all from the Midwest, like Missouri and that area, you know what? You get the floods before we get the floods down in the deep south. And it'll rain in Iowa, and then guess what? It gets to Missouri. What happens to the Missouri River? Days later, the Missouri River goes up, up, and up into the flood stage. And so the waters came down around the clock for 40 days. The waters were still coming out of the deep, and the water rose and rose and rose for 150 days. And everything that was not in the ark was destroyed. And so we look at the ark as a sign of grace in the middle of a time of judgment. Now there's a little church over in the book of Revelations in chapter 3. And it's a precious little church. It was the church... Let's go over there in chapter 3. I got to mark my Bible here. All right. And I want to talk to you about the church in Philadelphia. Not Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, but Philadelphia in the old world. And Philadelphia was a godly little church. And God had seen how they were suffering in this church. And we'll start with verse 8, Revelations 3:8. I know your works, talking to the church in Philadelphia. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it, for you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan, who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you because you have kept my command to persevere. I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. Now, this letter was to the Church of Philadelphia, but I want you to know I believe it's a letter to us today too. And it's definitely a letter of the end times because he mixes it a little bit in by saying, I am coming quickly. but you will make it. When days are dark, I will be there. And I will keep you from that hour of trial. Many people believe that's why the Christian church is raptured. It's because God is keeping them from the greatest tribulation this world will ever know. Now, as we read into chapter 8, we will see that God remembered Noah. God remembered who Noah was. He never forgot him. But it's interesting how chapter 8 starts by saying that because God remembered that He was going to do something with Noah and the other seven people and all the animals, He made the waters stop rising. And it says He brought a wind, and the wind helped it stop rising, and then the water began to fall. How appropriate that by the wind of God, things change. Amen? Because in John chapter 3, Jesus said that the Spirit of God is like a wind. You can't see it, but you see its effects. And so God blows His wind and stops the process. The world that then was destroyed. That's what 2 Peter 3 says. But now a new world is on its way. The waters begin to fall. And after about 6 months or 7 months, it's time to open up the windows, Noah. And they had little windows and they opened up. And everywhere they looked was ocean. You know, sometimes you get a chance. You can ask Shirley about the time me and her went on a boat out of Key Largo, Florida to go look at this underground thing, underwater thing where the little fish were and the reef and all this, and went about eight miles out. It was a glass bottom boat and all this stuff. And they said if you start getting dizzy while you're looking through the glass bottom boat, sit up, find something that's like a buoy or something and focus on it. Because if you don't, you'll find out why. And so we're sitting there and we're watching the fish and the boat's going like this. And we're looking and I have no sea legs. I'm a land lover. And so that's it. But Shirley, see, she grew up in Florida, right? So she's sitting there and she's looking and I got up and I'm sitting on there and everything is just swaying. And I found that buoy and I'm looking at it and I go, oh, there it is. And Shirley kept sitting down there looking. And all of a sudden, she sat up and she was green. Now, her maiden name is Green, but this day she was green. She'd stared a little bit too long with that motion of that boat. And she's sitting here, she'd probably give me a look. But anyway, I'll let her tell you the rest of the story. But you know what? Nothing but water. And so we needed a bird that's probably kind of like my bird dog that's a big idiot. And he got a big raven and let him go, and he just flew back and forth. Now, ravens are strong. And that bird just flew and flew and flew and flew and flew and flew, trying to find a place to land. So then he takes the raven back in, right? And so then he decides to try a dove. Let me make sure he took the raven back in. I believe he did. Let's see here. You find these stories over in about the seventh verse or so, eighth verse of, yeah. He sent out the raven and went back and forth. Okay? Maybe not. But then he had the dove, and he let the dove out, and the dove came back. And eventually the dove came back with a little olive leaf and let him know that land was starting to appear. But they had to stay in the boat for many more months because as the water went down, guess what the land was like? Mud. And it rested on a mount in Ararat area. And after one whole year and 10 days, God said, you can leave the ark. And they did. And the first thing Noah did was make sacrifices to God. Let's look here in verse 20. Actually, let's start with verse 15, chapter 8. Then God spoke to Noah, saying, "Go out of the ark, you and your wife, and your sons' wives with you. Bring out with you every living thing of all flesh that is with you, birds and cattle and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, so that they may abound on the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth." So Noah went out, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him. Every animal, every creeping thing. What are creeping things, by the way? Snakes, lizards, critters, lots of feet, I don't know. They're all creeping out so that they may abound on the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth. That's the second time in the Bible where God said, "Be fruitful, multiply." He said that back in chapter 1 and 2, before the fall of man. You're to be fruitful, multiply. And so they did. And Noah went out. Verse 18, his sons, his wife, his three sons had three wives. Don't you know those women thought they married well? They did. Every animal, every creeping thing, every bird. By the way, I didn't know this, but how many... were they pairs of birds, or were there more than pairs of birds? Who knows? There's seven birds. All the birds got to have the seven birds. I thought that was interesting. I always thought it was just pairs of birds. But if you go back to chapter 7, you'll see that they had to have seven birds. And that's probably why I'm a bird hunter today, is because there were seven birds of all the different birds that got to live. So all the birds came out, all the clean animals. And so what did Noah do? He made a sacrifice. He made an altar in verse 20. And he offered clean animals on the altar. And when he did, why was he doing that? And what was he doing? He was worshiping God. That's what he was doing. He was thanking God for taking care of him. And he made this offering. And then a little sweet verse 21 says, it was like a soothing aroma to God's nostrils. And God was happy. God was happy for Noah. God was happy for a new chance for man. And, you know, the sad thing is, did the nature of man change by going through a flood? No. Verse 21, even though God smells the aroma of the sacrifice, and even though he's thankful, Noah's thankful, God makes a comment that the thoughts and the intents of the heart of man is still evil. In Genesis 8:21, the nature of man did not change. But God makes a promise that as long as there's an earth, there'll never be another flood that will destroy the whole earth. Let's look at those last few verses. Verse 21, and the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, "I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease." And so God blessed Noah. And God gave him some directions. Things had changed in chapter 9. He said, "Look, you can eat meat now. Not only that, you're not to kill other humans." You know, Cain had killed his brother. God said, "If you kill another human, you're going to pay for it. I will require it." This has changed. And not only that, we're going to spend more time in chapter 9 next week. He also put a big old rainbow in the sky. And he said, every time you see a rainbow, you can remember my covenant. That as long as this earth remains, there'll be night and day. There'll be no more earthly flood. But now, 2 Peter chapter 3 teaches us this great truth. That the world that then was destroyed. But this world will one day be destroyed, won't it? There will be a day when this global warming, it says this earth will melt. and it will be destroyed. And Jesus will come back, what? As a thief in the night. And this day may catch many people unprepared, as they were unprepared when the flood came. And so, are you ready? That's the question this morning. Are you ready for when Jesus comes back? Are you ready for when that world, this world we live in, is finally destroyed and the end of time as we know it on earth is over? Are you ready? Now, Christian, if you belong to Jesus, you're going to be okay. You will be like in a safe hiding place, if you would. The Bible says He hides us as in a cleft of a rock, that He is our hiding place. He is our protector. Remember that little church over there in Revelation 3, living for Jesus, yet being persecuted? He says, I'm going to take care of you. God knows everything that's going on in your life, and He will protect you in His little hiding place. You know, I love Corrie Ten Boom's stories and the things that happened to Corrie Ten Boom. And one day the German Nazis attacked her home that she and her father and her sister and the family were living in. And they were knocking at the door. And the guy was at the door. She could look out and see this guy. And she knew something wasn't right. And she hit the little hidden button. And they sent the sound. And the house was like four stories. And so the Jews that were being hid ran all the way to the top floor. And they had made a false wall. And they slid in the little hole and they covered the little false wall. And they had a guy had actually come and they had hauled in bricks under the guard. You know, the Nazis didn't see them. And they built a false wall and had a little hole. And all the Jews got in there. And then the Nazis burst down the door and they ran in and they threw the sisters, these 50-something-year-old sisters, against the wall. And they grabbed the old papa and he ended up going to prison and dying in prison. And then two of her nephews were running up on the roof and they were shooting and one of them was shot and fell off the roof. And all the neighbors, what's going on? And they put Corrie in prison. And she didn't hardly know what was going on. She started in a prison, but her and her sister actually ended up in a concentration camp eventually. And her sister died, and she should have died there. But there's a beautiful little scene that when she's in the prison head guy says, well, if you'll say this and that, tell us where this happened and everything, we might make it easier. And of course, she couldn't answer the questions and everything. And he said, but you did receive a letter from home. And she had the letter, and it was, and they had already marked through it and all this stuff. And she went. And what the Nazis didn't know was that underneath the stamp on the letter was a little message. And she peeled the stamp off, and all it said was, the watches are safe. You know what that meant? The watches are safe. And she held the letter, and she grinned, because, see, they called the Jews their little watches. Remember, her father was a watchmaker. And so when she pulled the stamp back and said that all the watches were safe, that meant that all the Jews that they had been hiding lived. The Germans didn't find them. And see, if you are in the palm of God, even if you're in the middle of the worst storm and flood of all time, if you're right where God wants you, you're safe. And He is your deliverer. Let's all stand. And every head bowed and every eye closed. Has Jesus delivered you from the evil intents of your heart? Has Jesus watched after you like you're His precious child? No matter what you face on this planet, if you belong to Jesus, the Bible says you're in the very palm of God's hand. And He is your hiding place. And God can take care of you. As Ron comes to lead us in the song, if you need prayer, I'll be standing here to pray with you. If you need to go to the altar and give something to God or whatever God puts on your heart, or if you need to ask Jesus Christ to come in your heart and your life and take away your sins and be your Savior, you can do that today as we sing.
Number 544.